WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
The fast lane to Backlash is upon us as we gear up for Backlash in less than 2 weeks. That quickly, we get there. But the women were in the focus on tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Curry Code Rocketsack or Lin's M-Word in the Fortnite item shop. Because hashtag Epic Printer. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
They hit the gas pedal. They accelerated. They went, oh crap, we gotta go. Because, yeah, we're like doing a thing in 2 weeks or something crazy like that. But we're here. We're live. And yes, the ladies were the focus of Monday Night Raw tonight. Although there was plenty of drama with the gentlemen. I have to give compliments where compliments are due. I really liked Seth's outfit tonight. Like, that jacket? Jacket was hot, man. That was nice. Like, mm-hmm. That whole look he had going on? Like, supervillain vibes, anybody? Like, hey, let's go.
We will get into Seth Rollins here in a little bit. Monday Night Raw's first match was Rhea Ripley and Roxanne Perez. Hell of a match. Two women delivered.
I thought this was fantastic. I wouldn't mind seeing this again. I'm sure we'll get it again at some point. They didn't play safe. They didn't work a regular match. They went for each other. There was a lot of physicality in this, which I enjoyed. Roxanne held her own against Rhea, which is what you want. And yeah, like I liked the contents of the match. I don't think some people like the finish because this did go to a no contest or actually a DQ. So nobody took a pin in this, which is really smart because you protect Roxanne, you protect Rhea, even though you have Roxanne technically take the loss. But like, yeah, I'm just going to say it again. I will reiterate it for my own sanity. If they do Julia and Rhea and Roxanne and Stephanie Vaquer all in one time, all in one place, my ovaries are not going to be able to handle that. Just throwing that out there, boys.
That may happen at some point, but it was Julia who interfered, causing the disqualification. She was at ringside for a little bit, but came in when Roxanne needed her. Io Sky, though, is the one that helped make the save for Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley then made the save for Io as the two women took down Io for a minute, but Rhea was able to limp back in and make the save. So they're building to at least a tag match with these two. At least four, I should say.
And I like that. I like that after everything, you know, especially the builder mania, that Io's like, hey, you know what? We have our differences, but I hate these bitches more. So I'll help you out. I'll do this with you. And, you know, we'll go against them. So I like that. I like that we're doing that. That Io's just being a good champion and helping people out.
Getting confused when they have talent, have two feuds with two different people going on at the same time. I mean, that was a staple forever, having multiple people feuding with multiple people. It made for interesting
television.
They're all
fighting. They're all fighting.
I mean, we got steered away from multiple feuds going on for a good portion of time, because everything was, hey, everyone's focused on their own thing and everyone's segmented their own thing. But having Julia feuding with Stephanie and now feuding with Io and Rhea, one's in NXT feud, one's the main roster feud, it all works, because it's good to have multiple enemies. It's kind of good in wrestling, because when you get stagnated into, hey, this person's going to just be in this segment, this person's going to be in this segment, and feuding with this person for 10 weeks, having multiple feuds going on, not a bad thing, at least to me.
I think in the case of especially Julia and Stephanie and Roxanne, they're kind of like inching their way onto that elevator up to the main roster. Roxanne's probably going to go here very soon. Julia, I don't know about, and then Stephanie, we'll have to see. But they're integrating them into that main roster in order to eventually put them on that elevator and send them up. So by the time they come up, they fit very naturally. They're over with the crowds already. People know who they are, that kind of thing. I think in this case, when you're having them on two different shows, because you're having them on NXT and you're having them do Monday Night Raw and possibly SmackDown, then like you kind of need to have them challenging multiple people, especially for like Julia and Stephanie, because they have to have a go-to, right? Depending on where they are. I don't think it can take spots away from other talent, because in the long run, it's a temporary situation. Now, if they were going to run this for 2 years, then yeah, that's a problem. But like in a short term where it's like, Julie is getting ready to go up, Stephanie's the main champion on NXT, you're having that crossover with the two, and then you're having Stephanie, who's also feuding with different women on the Raw roster as well. She fought Ivy Nile. So it's like you have that going on, where they're not just focusing in on one person, they're focusing on multiple people depending on the show. I don't have a problem with it ultimately. I think it works, because I think to me, and I know it's linear storytelling is what they generally do. When you have people going against different people and you have multiple people in a feud where a lot of people don't like each other, you're setting up different options for later down the road as well. So like, you know, in terms of Julie's going after Rhea right now, right? Like she's messing with Rhea with the eventuality that Julia and Rhea are going to fight. Well, eventually Julia and Io are going to fight. You know, Io and Roxanne are going to fight. You know, Stephanie at some point will get put in that mix and she'll fight all of them, right? So it's like you're setting up those feuds and that story for later down the road right now. So when you bring them up, it's already established. It's all ready to go, where they can just say, oh, you know, a couple months back, Julia fell foul of Io Sky and now they're going to fight for the title or whatever it is, you know. So it's I don't ultimately have a problem with it, especially because it's helping to seat future talent into the roster. They're not just bringing them up and throwing them out there and letting them fend from themselves. They're doing it in a very natural way that makes sense.
And it's not taking anyone's spot away. They actually need talent, because they were kind of lacking for people on the roster. So Julia and Roxanne are 99% up at this point. They're still working NXT, but they're officially, I believe, Raw going forward.
Then I would expect at some point Stephanie probably goes SmackDown.
No, I think Stephanie's
coming. Because I don't think she's...
No, I think Stephanie's coming to Raw too.
I mean, that's totally fine. I will take Stephanie Vicker any way I can get her, but like, I don't think she's long for NXT either. I think
I think
for a little bit longer and then she drops it.
Yeah, she's about 50% on the way at this point. Until she drops the title, then she'll be full time on Raw. Because she needs to be up on Raw.
Because they're pushing her really hard. She's already over. Like, they know what they have in her, and they're not wasting any time.
Her and Ivy, as you said, had a match. Really good match.
I liked the match. I had an issue with Ivy's arrival outfit. Like, what was going on with that? It looked weird. She had this, like, weird suit combination thing going on, and her midriff was showing, and that wasn't the problem. But, like, it almost looked like... She had like the like a mini skirt for the suit, and like the bottom part of the skirt was the suit fabric, right? But then the top part of the skirt was like this blue plain fabric with a waistband, and it looked like she was wearing boxers under the skirt. It looked weird.
Okay.
And it looked strange. This is what I notice when I watch wrestling. But yeah, Stephanie versus Ivy, it was a really good match. Stephanie picked up the victory. And Chad Gable continued to be a dick to everybody. So there's that.
Him and Penta got into it a little bit too, backstage as well.
I realized they didn't have El Grande Marcano on the show last week, did they?
No.
They didn't. They mentioned him indirectly, but they didn't have him on the show.
Yeah.
So it was interesting when he got into it with Penta, because I realized that. I was like, wait, Gable wasn't on, I don't think, last week. In a speaking capacity.
Ray's injury threw a wrinkle into everything. So
they're setting it up. What was interesting about the thing with Penta, though, was they mentioned his brother.
Yeah, Ray Phoenix. Ray Phoenix is the one who lost to El Grande Americano.
But Penta was like, you know what? F you. You could fight both of us. You want to fight both of us? Let's go.
Yeah.
We'll fight you. Like, it was just a nice little touch. It's like, oh, are they going to bring the tag team together? Are they going to do it? Oh.
One day. Maybe. They'll get there eventually one day. We had Finn Balor backstage in the clubhouse talking with him. He was like, hey, I want to get over with JD. Where were you? Why didn't you tell me you were coming? I told Dom. He was supposed to tell you, and I guess it just didn't happen. And then Liv interrupted and said, I hope everything's doing okay. And then we should go after the tag titles. And then Liv's like, yeah. And McDowell's like, yeah, I got you a match with the War Raiders. And Liv was supposed to tell him, and he's like, yeah, just slipped my mind. You know, but he shouldn't have any problem with it. But Baylor wants to be kept in the loop. So everyone's making claims for things. But, you know, it is what it is. We also learned Liv is off to film a movie.
We did learn that, yes. Liv's off to film a movie. Dom tried to get time off. He got told no, and to, you know, basically you got to work harder. Mm-hmm. But lots of dissension being sown in the Judgment Day right now with Finn Balor. He's definitely on the outs. Yeah. You can tell, and the one sowing those seeds is Liv.
She is.
She's trying to get Finn out of the group. Which would make sense, because if Finn goes, he's the last one of the original group.
Yes.
Gone. So, interesting little plot twist that Liv's trying to get Finn out.
Yeah. AJ Styles was also in that segment later when Dom and stuff were talking, and he was eyeing up Dom's title. So, there is that as well.
As he should. Like
he should. We had a good Rusev video package, and talking about how he fell into the abyss when he left WWE. But he's redeemed. The Redeemer. Haha, nice tie-in. And he's fixed himself. He's going to kill people, basically.
I'm curious to see this Rusev and what he does. Because I like how they handled all of it, right? How he was like, I was lost. I left. I fell into the abyss. I found myself. I'm not going to do these specific things anymore, which includes fighting for a woman that is not his. I found that a nice little touch there. So maybe it kind of puts a nail in the fact that CJ Perry's not coming back, but she could be coming back.
We'll have news on CJ Perry this Thursday on the rack.
But yeah, like, I like this. It's going to be interesting to watch Rusev do this. Yes. It definitely has a lot more legs than like Rusev Day Rusev or just him going out and destroying people. Like, you're presenting him in a much more, I'm going to say, refined way, because the presentation of him before was just he's a beast and a monster and he just destroys people. This, he's a much more mature, intelligent character, and I really want to see what they do with it.
So War Raiders defeated Finn Balor and JD McDonagh. We had a bunch of interference. New Day was at ringside. They got into it a little bit. But the War Raiders pinned JD for the victory.
More dissension. More shenanigans. More everything.
Pat McAfee decided to have speak his mind. He talked about, you know, living from paycheck to paycheck and made great friends and went from being a bum to being known in every city and country. He said when he dies, he hopes he was an incredibly hard worker who had worked his ass off for his friends, family, and community. He said he hopes that he was empathetic for giving millions to hospitals, military foundations, shelters, LGBTQ communities. He said when he's gone, people will say that he was a loyal mother. You know what? McAfee said you're either with him or against him. He said Cole's been with him since day one. He said he's been loyal to Cole until he's in the soil. He said that's when the Austrian asshole put his hands on Cole. He had no choice to protect his boy. McAfee said he was attacked from behind, choked out. People told him not to try Gunther, who's in his prime. McAfee said if he dies, he dies. So if Gunther has a problem with Cole, then he has a problem with him. And called out fake Adam Pearce to come out. Nick Aldis came out. He says he does things different than Adam Pearce and keeps it professional. McAfee said he knows Aldis is the middleman like Pearce. He told Aldis that he wants to fight Gunther as soon as possible. Lift the suspension. Take this request. Make it happen. He won't lift it. So McAfee gets his hands on Gunther at any time, any place. Aldis said the way to make it happen would be for McAfee to agree to face Gunther in a sanctioned match, at Backlash. McAfee agreed, so it's Gunther, McAfee, Backlash.
Okay, the promo on its own, as a promo, was good. It was very well delivered.
Mm-hmm.
As a setup for a backlash match, I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about for the first, 2 to 3 minutes of this promo. Because he's standing up on the table and he's talking about growing up the son of a trucker. He's giving us his life story. He's talking about all the good he does in the world and how he wants to be remembered when he dies, which that's about when I got confused. Because it's like, where is this going exactly, sir? What are you doing with this? And it wasn't until he brought up the stuff with Gunther towards the back half of the promo that it's like, okay, all right. So he's talking about Gunther. He's talking about Cole. He's talking about everything. And then he made the challenge. And so to me, it was just a tad bit confusing. Like on its own, it was a good promo if it was just a standalone thing. But in terms of setting something up for the feud, to me, it was a little meandering.
Okay.
I feel like you could have mixed more in to tie it back to Gunther than the way that they did it.
Okay. Speaking of promos, Logan Paul won his match at WrestleMania. He called out. He wants to do something he hasn't done and win a world title. So, you know, that leads to Jey Uso coming out. Jey told Paul that he watched Gunther be his twin brother to a bloody pulp. Jey said that it lit a fire inside of him that's never going out. Jey said the title isn't given, it's earned, and it's his. If Logan Paul wants it, come take it. Logan said he's done more in 4 years than Jey has done in 15. Paul said he's going to take the World Heavyweight Championship from Jey Uso. Paul said Jey would do what he does best by crash out, screw up, and lose the title less time than he held the Intercontinental Championship. So enjoy it while you can, and then ate a super kick. And then later in the night, after Sami Zayn and Jey Uso had a moment backstage, Jey Uso got knocked out by Logan Paul. Solid.
It was solid. I don't think I want it.
But we're getting it.
But it was solid. We're getting it. You know what? It's kind of like what you guys were talking about last night with contractual obligations.
Uh-huh.
Let it manifest now. Because no offense to Backlash, but between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, we're kind of in the summer feuds where it doesn't really matter. So if you're going to do stuff that people maybe aren't going to be as thrilled about, now's the time. So I'll take it because it's there's really nothing else that they're planning to do because they have to bridge that gap between Mania and SummerSlam. And they have to very slowly begin to build that, which is what I think they're going to do, and they're going to build that ultimate contender for Jey, whoever that is. So if you're going to do Logan Paul and Jey, okay, fine, do it now. Don't put the title on Logan Paul.
They're not going to do that.
I know they're not going to, but I'm just putting it out in the universe now. Please, for the love of God, do not put the title on Logan Paul. But to go back to it, I still don't want it. I'll watch it because I have to, but I still don't want it.
Mm-hmm. Becky Lynch came out, talked to Amanda's back, and she's the one, after all the investigation, that she concluded that she was the one who took out Bayley at WrestleMania. She did it. She said she attacked Bayley. She said it's the one time she is tactic, but Bayley's been attacking her nonstop since 2019. She's never apologized once. Lynch said Bayley wants everyone to like her while she wears everyone else's shirts and dances to everyone's music. Lynch said Bayley wondered why she's not the bigger star, and she got to see what a bigger star looks like when Lynch came down the ramp at WrestleMania. Then she talked about Lyra and said Lyra wouldn't be in the business because if it wasn't for her. She said she had high hopes for her, but then she cozied up to the one Becky's been fighting for 6 years. She said she tried to save Lyra by getting to ditch that bitch. Lynch said Valkyrie was already compromised and a loser. This brought out the Intercontinental Champion. The women in the locker room warned her, she said. And Becky's like, I bet they have. Vicaria said Bayley was the one the first. She said she didn't buy it because it was she had hope for Becky. She said while she's saying the illusion was dead and she would make her pay, Becky bailed. Lyra reminded Becky the last time they met in the ring, she beat her for her NXT Women's Championship. Becky said the man only fights when it matters now and what doesn't matter in Kansas City. And Vicaria said, oh, let's have a match at Backlash because you only take me on because you're for the title, so let's do it. Becky would agree. And she said she doesn't want to be the next Becky Lynch. She said that she's a better person than Becky and is a better wrestler than Becky Lynch. Becky was throwing a fit, yelling on the floor, and then she got drop-kicked through the ropes by Lyra Vicaria. As Lyra stood tall, she went to the back and then got hit from behind. Good stuff. I thought Lyra was really strong, and we got the perfectly acceptable explanation for Becky's actions because they were truthful.
They were truthful. I like how it came off slightly delusional and out of touch. Like, and I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I like how it came off like that. Yeah. Becky sold it absolutely perfectly where she's like, yeah, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm not going to hide about it. It's me. It's fucking me. I did it. And like the very strong response from Lyra was super good. I will say my only qualm with this, and there's nothing we can do about it, was it was difficult to understand them at times when they started yelling at each other because accents got involved and it was like, what? But other than that, it was fine.
All right. This is a lot. We're going to react to it all at the end. Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker, Paul Heyman in the ring. Rollins talked about winning WrestleMania, and this is the future of the industry. Sammy came out, said that he's been friends with Rollins for a long time, but he's doing what he's doing now is a load of crap. He said he believed Rollins had a deep hatred for Punk, and he sounded self-righteous when he spoke about Roman Reigns, but Zayn thinks that Rollins was just jealous. Rollins said he's not Punk or Reigns. This is the future. Zayn said it's quite the coincidence that his vision of the future revolves around Rollins being front and center. Rollins says not a coincidence because he's the best man for a job. Zayn says that's hypocritical. Sammy talked about this as a new group, like the Bloodline. You have a wise man on one side and the little dog is on the other. Rollins said Zayn is either with them or he'll become a target and said he didn't want that for Sammy. Rollins said Heyman could pull some strings, move Sammy Zayn off Raw to SmackDown. There was an offer and a favor, which he'd encourage Sammy Zayn to think about and give an answer by the end of the night. We would have a segment in the back with Paul Heyman cozying up to Sami Zayn, and they had a conversation, a heart-to-heart, in some manners. And Paul Heyman has the offer. Go to SmackDown. Fight the winner of John Cena and Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. I already talked to the GMs. It'll happen. That's the offer. Take it. So then we come to the main event segment. Seth Rollins is in the ring. He wants to talk it out. They're put in a tough spot. He said when they go way back, it doesn't want to say anything bad had to happen to Sami Zayn. He said he gets that Zayn doesn't like Braun Breaker or Paul Heyman, but this is me. He said he knows Sami doesn't agree with it, but him, Heyman, and Breaker is the best vision for the future of WWE. He said he wished he had someone better, but there's no one better to lead them into the future. Rollins said that Sami was not believing in him hurts. Said the business tears apart friendships. Rollins said Sammy's one of his true friends. He's made a business. He said Zayn was the first people to call when his daughter was born, gave him the best advice he ever could, and they wanted him to return the favor by offering advice so they could save his life. He encouraged him to take the offer, whatever Paul had lined up for him. Rollins said that if Sammy stays and doesn't believe him, then bad things will happen. He begged Sammy to take it. Zayn said if Rollins knows him and is dangling the WWE Championship in front of him because he knows how badly he wants to win it, and he's never known to run away. Sammy said Rollins was threatening him, and he's been a target 1,000 times before, but he can't live with being blackmailed. I will not be threatened. I will win the WWE Championship. I will become a world champion. And when I do, it will not be because of any favors from anyone. It will be because he does it the right way. He loves and respects Rollins. But this is me telling you to go to hell. This would not be the last time he told him to go to hell. As it was Braun Breaker made his eerie way to the ring with Paul Heyman standing behind him to battle Sami Zayn in a fine match. But Sami got beat up a lot. Ate multiple spears and told him as he was crawling on the ground. He told Rollins to go to hell. He ate another spear. He was on the referee called for the bell. They were helping him out, and then Sammy got speared one more time on the outside of the ring. No prime bottles were hurt. And then the trio stood tall after Sami Zayn got stomped in the middle of the ring by Seth Rollins.
I wouldn't call that a beating. I would call that a massacre.
Yes.
Sami Zayn died in game for his sins. That's exactly what happened. Like, the match was the match. Nobody cares about the match. What happened was the before, the during, and the after. I like very much how they brought up that, like, this isn't the bloodline. That Sammy was like, you're just doing the bloodline. You're just jealous of Roman. You're jealous of Punk. So you're just redoing the bloodline. You have you have the lackey and the wise man, and then you have your little dog and Braun Breaker. You know, it's I like how they did that and brought up that comparison. It's just like, no. You know, in his usual way, he's like, no, I'm not them. I'm not jealous. What are you talking about? Me jealous? No. Come on, I'm not jealous. Like, again, there's a delusion to this that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, again, Seth is out of touch. And I don't know if that's, like, intentional or unintentional, but I liked that it was there. And the fact that Sammy is that sort of touch point in reality to Seth. And Seth doesn't want to hear what Sammy has to say. Seth just wants yes men. He just wants people that are going to do as they're told. And Sammy's not going to do that. It's like, I'm not going to follow you just to get a world title. I'm going to do it on my own, which I thought was a really, really funny juxtaposition to John Cena. Sammy, like, legit pulled a John Cena. Because he was like, when I win it, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to do it the honorable way. I'm not going to cheat to get it. I'm not going to use you to get it. I'm going to get it my own way. I'm going to be a world champion, goddammit. And I'm going to fight honorably. And I liked how he did that. That it's like, there's the Sami Zayn we know and love. He stood up for himself. You know, yeah, it is interesting that Seth did the throat cut. It's really interesting, isn't it? How Seth is just trying to be Roman so hard. Although the outfit was, like, super on point. Like, he looked really good in that outfit. Respectfully, of course. But, like, I liked all of this.
It was really
because
good.
Because it's the best version of heel Seth so far. It's, yeah, again, that more intelligent, mature heel.
Yeah.
That he's so good at playing, and we haven't seen in a while. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I thought the throat thing was the Rock thing, yeah.
He wants to be all of them. Let's just be real.
It was good stuff. It's built into, Sammy's probably going to be gone a couple weeks after the beating, and you're going to probably get some sort of pairings with Punk and Zayn fighting them, and Punk and Roman fighting them. It's all coming together.
I want Roman and Sammy more, just because I feel like we've never gotten the natural conclusion to all of that, where they kiss and make up.
We'll get it at some point.
We'll get it at some point, but, like, I feel like this is going to kind of start that process, because Sammy needs help, and he may have to turn to Roman to get it. Or Roman's going to be so pissed that he's like, I'll help you because I hate him more. I'll help you. Like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, Roman's like, I'll do it. And Punk's like, no question. I'll do it. So, yeah, this is going to be fun one, y'all. This is going to be interesting and fun. And just as a note, Braun, honey, lay off the fake Tanner. Okay, sweetie, you're good.
Good show. Good setup for Backlash.
It's weird to have a fast build,
because that's fine.
The Mania build was so long that they're like, here you go, and they just throw it all out there, and it's like, oh, right, we're back in the swing of things now. There's a pay-per-view every month. Oh God, what do we do?
We're gonna be speeding through a lot of things, but that'll be good. Thursday night, we're back live, 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have a discussion. It's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Another edition of CB Radio. Sunday, the preview of Backlash on WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night when Raw ends. We'll be live to talk all about it. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Sports Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use carry code RockSock or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite app shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SummerLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward 0.
has been the Raw Pro Show, presented as always by mbgfilms.com/mbg1211. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack, and right back here every Monday night along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.